Indeed, we have false teachers today saying, God will not judge you for your sin. He loves you so much. All is well. You don't need to change your behavior because God loves you. There's no consequence. You're under grace. That's a false assurance for those who truly probably don't have a relationship with the Lord, as exhibited by their sin.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today, instead of reading our letters and comments from our listeners, I'd just like to again share that we are praying for those in upstate South Carolina where we are, in Lake Lure area, North Carolina Hills, who are suffering from Hurricane Helene. This is absolute devastation. And we are praying, and by God's grace, we're doing well here, but there are a lot who are not doing well. And so be praying for our brothers and sisters up in this area, but also that as the Lord protects and helps them, they might be able to share why they have hope in the midst of this absolute devastation. And so with this in mind, we've also set up a fund on our website for you to donate, where every dime will go to those who are truly in need in this area. So be praying about how you might be able to help. Okay, with that in mind, let's get to our message. We're in Ezekiel chapter 1, and we're looking at the context and the timing of this wonderful book, and we'll begin to get into the text today. So turn to Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 1 through 3.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
In this deportation, Ezekiel is taken, and we'll see that through the dates in chapter 1, verse 2 today. Then 5 years later, from this captivity, we'll see today in our verses also, 593, Ezekiel begins his ministry that the Lord brings to him at 30 years of age. We'll see that in our verses today. Now, in 588, remember this is, again, 5 years later, okay? From 588 B.C. to 586, for 18 months, and this is important for Ezekiel, we have the third and final siege of Jerusalem, that in which what we read prophesied in Deuteronomy about the famine and all those horrible things. During that time, those things are happening, okay? Third and final siege, 18 months, 2 Kings 25, 1 and 2, Ezekiel 24, verse 2. Then after this 18-month siege, it ends in Jerusalem being destroyed, the temple torn down, the city walls destroyed, and then the final exile of the people of Judah and Jerusalem to Babylon. Ezekiel 32, 21, 2 Kings 25, 1 through 21. The siege ending in the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, city walls, and the final exile. So three deportations to Babylon, one in 605 with Daniel, one in 597 with Ezekiel, and one in 586 when Jerusalem is destroyed. Now this book of Ezekiel is centered around the third and final 18-month siege. You gotta know that. You gotta understand that or you will misinterpret this book. It is centered around this third and final 18-month siege with the ultimate destruction of Jerusalem. Indeed, the first 24 chapters are oracles leading up to the siege. 25 through 32 are basically prophecies during that 18-month siege. And then in 33 through 48 reveal what will happen after the fall of Jerusalem. That's really the timeline, okay? Now, in light of the broad context, what about the immediate context? What do we see, biblically speaking? Here, we're going to see that Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people. He is prophesying concerning the sins of those who are yet to be judged and taken captive in Judah. And it's apparent that although there's been two sieges and deportations, that those remaining in Judah before the third siege are still continuing grievous sin, saying peace and safety. They're still thinking they're going to be fine after two sieges. So the first set of this is up to the siege, and then the second set of prophecies during the siege, and then 33 and after, afterwards. They're continuing to listen to the evil voices of false assurance. Talked about that earlier. Indeed, Ezekiel's contemporary in Jerusalem, Jeremiah, reveals this mindset. He reveals what was affecting them in Jerusalem, but it was affecting the captives in Babylon. They were hearing this too. And they were buying into this peace and safety mindset. Turn to Jeremiah 28. And you're going to see a little prophet battle here. You're going to see Jeremiah with Hananiah. You're going to see what happens here. And it'll give us a little idea of what was being said and what was being spoken. And thus what the prophecies that Ezekiel is sharing is against. Okay? Jeremiah 28. Now it came about in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me, this is Jeremiah, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people. So this is a prophet deal with all the priests and people listening, okay? Saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I'm going to bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I am also going to bring them back to this place, Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. And this prophecy sounds like it's going to be, everything's going to be fine. Two sieges, Babylon's going to be taken care of, and it's all going to come back, all the stuff's going to go back to the temple. Hey, everything's fine, right? Well, so then we have in verse 5, then Jeremiah the prophet spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests, in the presence of all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. And now listen to what he's saying. He's going to agree in principle that it'd be great that this happens. But he's going to confront him in reality that this is false. Okay? Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord confirm your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all the exiles from Babylon to this place. Okay? But keep reading. Yet hear now the word which I'm about to speak in your hearing, in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who were before me and before you from ancient times prophesied against many lands and against great kingdoms of war and calamity of pestilence. The prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, and the prophet shall be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet tore the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah and broke it. They put the yoke on, they're prophesying. He's like, stop, prophet. And he tore it off him, right? And he's trying to do something symbolic in a sense and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of the people saying, thus says the Lord, even so I'll break within 2 full years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of the nation. Sounds like we're watching TBN, doesn't it? They got their prophecies on there, right? Then the prophet Jeremiah went his way, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and speak to Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made instead of them yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have also given him the beasts of the field. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, listen now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm about to remove you from the face of the earth. This year you're going to die because you counseled rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died in the same year in the seventh month. You know what? He counseled against the Lord by not speaking for him, by speaking a message that the people would like to hear, a message of peace when God is saying there is no peace for the wicked. Message of peace. That was what was going on. And it was pretty prominent in Jerusalem, so much so that Hananiah seemed to have the last word with everyone, and Jeremiah got thrown out and flee, but he had to come back and prophesy against him, as we see the Lord brought it forth. So that's what's going on. They're prophesying peace and safety and a speedy delivery. Babylon's going to fall, okay? Yet we see in Jeremiah 29 very clearly that it would be a confirmed 70-year captivity. God has made it clear. Yet the evil voices of false assurance were spreading to the captives, also in Babylon, to the exiles. The false assurance of the Jews was spreading that message here. That happens in the church. You have people who the message spreads from one church to another that's false. Indeed, we have false teachers today. God will not judge you for your sin. He loves you so much. All is well. You don't need to change your behavior because God loves you. There's no consequence. You're under grace. That's a false assurance for those who truly probably don't have a relationship with the Lord, as exhibited by their sin. Yes, the true church is not condemned anymore. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But the true church has a changed heart that wants to obey the Lord and feels convicted when they sin and desires to do what is right. But sadly, there are many listening to the voices of false teachers today giving them false assurance, whether it's from the extreme in these wicked denominations. I can share with you a story I heard from someone back in Vancouver about a church in Portland, about what their lesbian pastor was sharing, or whatever, or gay guy, maybe he's a gay guy, whatever it was. It was truly blasphemous concerning things in Scripture. I can't even share it with you. Awful. You see, there are those out there saying, hey, you're fine in your sin. God loves you. There's no judgment. Well, the reality is, the wages of sin is death. But as we'll see, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people concerning the sins of those who are about to be judged in an awful siege in which many are killed and the remaining are brutally taken captive to Babylon. And even though there's been two sieges, two deportations, those remaining are still in their sin and continue to listen to the voices of evil like Hananiah. But the Lord knocked him off, but there's still those evil voices. Okay, so with that in mind, let's take a look at our passage. Ezekiel chapter 1. Now it came about in the 13th year, in the 5th day of the 4th month, while I was by the river Shebar among the exiles, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the 5th of the month, the 5th year of the king Jehoiachin's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar, and there the hand of the Lord came upon him. Okay, so right away, let's make some observations before we get to the specifics here. But it's interesting to note that Ezekiel's name means God strengthens. God strengthens. And as we read through and study this book, we're going to see that certainly no coincidence. He's going to need God's strengthening because of the message that he's going to have to bring forth and the way in which he'll have to do it. He's going to need to be strengthened. Indeed, if you look up a little farther in chapter 3, verse 4, you see, those who are preaching at certain times, you see, there's in season and out of season. And you can pray for me. You need strength when people aren't listening. You need strength when people are rebelling. You need strength when it's out of season. Okay, and it was certainly out of season at this time. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 4. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Hey, you're going to your own people. Nor of many peoples, so intelligent spirit, whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Okay? Verse 7. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. There's the key. If you don't want to hear biblical teaching and preaching, that means you don't want to hear what God has to say, no matter who it's coming through. And so he says here, surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Behold, I have made your face, that's Ezekiel, as hard as their faces, and forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them or be dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all my words, which I shall speak to you, listen closely, and go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them and tell them whether they listen or not. Thus says the Lord God. He's going to need to be strengthened, and God does strengthen him. And if you are in ministry, if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you're called to speak his word in whatever circumstances it might be in, the Lord will strengthen you to do it. Okay, well, what else can we learn? Three things. Ezekiel was a prisoner, a priest, and a prophet. First of all, he was a prisoner. Look at verse 2. On the 5th of the month of the 5th year of the king of Jehoiachin's exile. And we have in the phrase in verse 3, and the word of the Lord came to me expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans. That would speak of Babylon. He is in exile. He was a prisoner. He was taken in that second deportation. These are exiles here in Babylon, I was talking about. And did you notice in verse 2, on the fifth month of the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest. Here we have also, we have in chapter 8, verse 1, we come to understand that the dating of this vision first in this portion is in relationship to how long he has been in exile. It's apparent he's been there for 5 years and 5 months. That's how long. And that's because his exile took place at the same time of Jehoiachin, 2 Kings 24, that the Lord, first of all, he removed his dad, Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim, this was Jehoiachin's father, because of Jehoiakim's great sin. He was killed by foreign enemies that the Lord brought up. He was killed because of his great sin. And then at the age of 18, Jehoiachin, right, became king, 2 Kings 24:8. He was 18 years old and he reigned for 3 months. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. By the way, if you read through the Kings, you'll see even a 9-year-old does evil in the sight of the Lord. We think, oh, it's just a kid, he can't do it. No, they can do evil in the sight of the Lord. They need Jesus. So he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all his father had done, the abominations of his father. And it's at this point that Nebuchadnezzar lays the second siege of Jerusalem, 597, and Jehoiachin is ripped from the throne according to God's prophecy in Jeremiah 22:24, and he is taken captive with Ezekiel and 10,000 others. And so now it's been 5 years and 5 months. God is showing us through the word here, this is when this is starting. 5 years and 5 months into the exile. And notice what happens here. Now it came about in the 30th year, and we'll talk about that in a minute, the fifth day of the fourth month, while I was at the river Shebar among the exiles, the heavens were open, I saw visions of God. And then in parentheses, this is a commentary inspired by the author, on the fifth month of the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's exile. That means 5 months, 5 years since he was exiled. The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar, and then there the hand of the Lord came upon him. So, what else do we know about Ezekiel? Well, unlike Jeremiah, who was restricted by God for marrying, Ezekiel was married before he went into exile, and he had kids. But yet we're going to see in chapter 24 that his wife and family are left behind, and they're in their sin, and they're slain. We'll see that in chapter 24, 21. God says, clearly, I'm going to take the light of your eyes, your youth, because they're just as evil as everyone else's, we'll see. And Ezekiel also was a priest. Verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest. That means he was a Levite. He was in a priestly family. Now, the priest at this time came from Israel's upper crust, Levites. So it's likely he came from a privileged home, but he still got exiled, didn't he? Right? And notice in verse 1, he says, now it came about in the 30th year. I believe this refers to his age, speaking of how old he is. Okay? So he was taken captive when he was 25 or 24, right? And he's now 30 years old. And here, I believe, instead of going into priestly ministry at 30, because he's not, there's no temple there, no temple in Babylon, no priesthood in Babylon. Priesthood was back in Israel. Okay? I believe he begins his prophetic ministry. Ezekiel the priest begins his prophetic ministry at age 30. It's interesting, the Lord began at 30 also, right? We see that. Okay, so with that in mind, notice he's 30 years old. He's been in exile for 5 years. And notice in the middle of verse 1, he was by the river Shebar among the exiles. Now, evidently, many exiles had settled near the river Shebar. And we see in chapter 3, verse 15, it's described as the exiles who lived beside the river Shebar at Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv, not Tel Aviv, but Tel Aviv, right? They lived there, okay? So evidently, this Babylonian river, some think it was the Euphrates, was where a city, so it was a river city. When he's at a river city in the river Shebar, okay? And he's at a river city. Okay? And here, he says, while I was by the river Shebar among the exiles, so he's in where they are, okay? The heavens were open and I saw visions of God. Okay. Now, right here, we see particularly the first vision here, as we'll see, is in chapter 1, verses 4 to 24. And it's often quoted on all the fantastic things that are in there, but the main point is often left out. And we're going to look at that next week. But it is primarily not a vision of wheels, and some people say aliens and spaceships. No, that's not it. It's not a vision of simply angelic beings, creatures, which are there, yes. It's not a vision simply of that. It is a vision of God, as we see the Lord in glory on his throne. Take a look at chapter 1. Let's go down to verse 26. This is after all this really amazing description from verses 4 to 25. We'll get to that next week. He says, "Now above the expanse that was over their heads was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance, and on that which resembled a throne, high up was a figure in the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upwards something like glowing metal that looked like fire, and all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins downward I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance around him. And as the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds and a radiance, so was the appearance of surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice speaking." He is seeing visions of God. Yes, there's a lot of other things, but it says right away in our passage, the heavens were open, and this is a heavenly vision. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. If you make this about anything other than God on his throne and what he will say to Ezekiel, then you have missed it completely. If you make it about all the fanciful stuff, you have missed the intent completely. Visions of God. Now, in Ezekiel, it is full of visions. And so we need to gain a foundational understanding of visions for the rest of Ezekiel. And actually, it will help us. You see, I need to warn you, as we begin our study here in this Old Testament vision, there are all kinds of deceived and so-called believers who say they've seen visions. Lest we be deceived and inflate visions with our fleshly minds, we need to remember that God revealed himself in many ways in the past, but now revealed himself through his Son. Hebrews chapter 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, in many ways, speaking to Ezekiel, one of the prophets here, right? "In these last days has spoken to us through his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things." Okay, we don't have visions, except for a time, as we'll see in the tribulation, when God's plan goes back to Israel for that 7 years. That's what we see in that day of the Lord. Men will see, they will see that back in that time. We see that in Joel chapter 2, which Peter quotes in Acts chapter 2. But there are no visions right now. You might remember we have the faith once for all delivered to the saints. We have the full word of God. And you might remember when we were in Colossians chapter 2, what Paul said. Colossians chapter 2, you can turn there, verse 18. Remember what he said about the bad guys who are trying to take them spiritually captive, the bad guys who are trying to delude them with persuasive arguments. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 18, "Let no one continue or keep defrauding you of your prize." By the way, that's a serious thing, eternal rewards, "by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head."
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you made a point that Ezekiel's first vision is primarily a vision of God.
Yes, I did, Dave, and I also shared a warning concerning visions that we need to heed. You see, we have the word completed right now. We have the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And those who would say they see visions now, they're not seeing anything but false visions
from their hearts at best or from Satan. So with this in mind, we need to stay in the Word of God, stay grounded in it, so that we don't get swayed by those who would try to manipulate us, even using the Old Testament twisted to try to get us to look at things today the way they were then.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.